ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.
I look forward to a really successful weekend. Ultimately, as important as the AFL and the state government's partnership is, the weekend is about the people that bring it to life. And I just hope that everyone is able to get behind it and experience the unique nature of Gather Round.
The SA government and the AFL are cosy, aren't they? Parts of the Gather Round love-in has felt like a sporting political equivalent of seeing your friends post about their new relationship on the gram. There's also some Aussie rules taking part this weekend in Adelaide. And the stories, look, they're as juicy as a Barossa Red. Seasons on the line, scandals that might galvanise or unravel a team, car crashes waiting to happen, and a much-talked-about protagonist facing his ex. Let's dive in. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Corbin Middlemass will be in Adelaide calling the action for ABC Corb. You're going to give us a grab bag of Gather Round goodness. And we've got to start with the opener. There's a kind of irony that while this event will highlight how good Adelaide can be as a place, the opening game could also highlight the depths that the club, the Crows, are plumbing. I mean, what would defeat mean for the Adelaide Crows on this stage as they take on a resurgent Melbourne Demons?
Well, I think it would basically spell the end of their season. I think from 0-4, it'd be pretty hard to try and climb back from that point to do anything substantial. Sure, you could, you know, string a few wins together and maybe be scratching and clawing in the last month of the season to get a spot in the lower end of the eight. But, gee, this competition's so hard to think that somehow you're going to win, you know, three in every four matches or whatever it is on the run home when you have such a start is highly unlikely. This is a team that's gone from the best scoring team in the competition to now averaging less than 10 goals a game. They're averaging 55 points per match.
Crows just seem to be out on their legs a bit here.
Yeah, they look really flat. They've just got nothing from their goal scorers all night. I mean, the defence from Fremantle has been huge. I mean, consider Clark and Pearce and Ryan, but yeah, they just don't have much left.
And there is a whole lot of, you know, symbolism, I think, around this fixture. As you mentioned, it is the welcome to Gather Round. This was the coming out party for the Crows last year when they really announced themselves as a team and a force and someone a team that was going to contend for the top eight.
Back to Kennedy, who spun around and dispossessed. Welcome to Adelaide. The Crows dish out the Blues' first loss of the season and show the rest of the league what the local team is capable of.
Ultimately, they fell short, and it feels like this year it's a match for them to prove that they're still relevant and they are still a player in the mix to try and make the top eight. So there's a whole lot baked into it for the Crows. And for the Demons, they're just quietly going about their business despite the circus that's happening off-field. Obviously, their implications in all the illicit drugs policy news which broke in federal parliament last week. And yet, despite that, they just keep on trucking. They scored a nice victory over the Power. They've spent the week in Adelaide. They're ready to get back to work tonight.
Speaking of scandals and teams that are 0-3, pre-season premiership fancies, Brisbane, last year's grand finalist, they are winless as they're ready for a Kangaroo side, also winless, this Friday. They've been embroiled, the Lions, that is, in a WhatsApp scandal that they deny has played into any of their sort of current predicament. Are you buying what Coach Chris Fagan is selling in that regard?
They've been a happy group all pre-season, is all I can say, and I've seen no evidence of what was reported in the media. I think I'm a pretty good judge of how social interactions and relationships are going with the team members. Probably that's one of my strengths, so I saw no evidence of any disharmony.
I think so. I think I can take him absolutely on face value on that front. I mean, regardless, the footy performance isn't good. The one thing is they haven't really tried to look for an excuse, and yet this has sort of been put forward as, hey, maybe this is what's wrong with Brisbane at the moment and they're not tipping into it, so I guess why should I on that front? One thing we do know is that their footy hasn't looked like the team that made a deep September run last year, so they need to somehow get back to that.
So now the questions will turn on Chris Fagan and his Lions. The beaten grand finalists are 0-3.
We often talk in the sweet science, in the sport of boxing, Stacky, they talk all the time about, you know, a perfect styles matchup and that sort of styles make fights. Well, it feels like they've got the perfect styles matchup here in a get right spot for Brisbane. So they're a little bit off Broadway. They're the early game on Friday out at Norwood. They get to play a team that really doesn't have any key defenders and they've got a bunch of key forwards who are out of form. So if ever there's a time to try and run themselves into a little bit of form and kick a score against the hapless Kangaroos, then it's this Friday night. So maybe this is the get-right spot that Brisbane are searching for in round four.
And if it's not, look out for nasty conversations.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of nasty conversations, three games into a season, it feels early to be talking about draft compensation, but that's been the chat around West Coast, which speaks to the dramatic nature of their demise. You've been hot on this for a number of years. The timing of that is interesting to me because they face a Swans team that put 200 on them last year in a 170-point-plus victory.
Hayden McLean from deep in the right forward pocket opens up the angle. Double ton. The Swans have put 200 on the West Coast Eagles.
Are we going to see that conversation accelerate potentially as this match looms on the horizon, early doors Saturday?
Well, you mentioned that one last year by 170-odd points. I think their last three games they've played the Swans, they've got an average losing margin of like 110, so that they haven't got close to them in recent times. And this was once the best rivalry in footy. I mean, you go back to the glory days in the mid-2000s.
One last roll of the dice for the Eagles! Leo Barry, you star!
And the West Coast Eagles look like a shell of their former self. I mean, this is a team that I was lucky enough to grow up in Perth, and you feared the West Coast Eagles, and that you were, if you're a supporter of another team, which I was and am, it was often the side that you would be so envious of, that they would be a perennial September finalist. They would often make, you know, deep runs, multiple grand finals, as many premierships as anyone during that period. And yet they are so far off it at the moment as the worst team in the competition. The eyeball test tells you that at this stage. I think all the chat about priority picks and the rest of it is way too premature. I mean, this season has a whole lot of time to run. And the one thing that the West Coast Eagles need to do in the short term is to be competitive. They haven't won any of their 12 quarters that they've played in so far. So maybe that's a start. See if they can pinch a quarter off the Sydney Swans. And this is baby steps. And gee, how the mighty have fallen that we're talking about the once great West Coast Eagles in that kind of fashion.
Feels wild, doesn't it? I mean, they might be friendless, but there's increasing excitement around their neighbours, Fremantle, and also their opponents, the Carlton Football Club. Those two teams are both seeking to go 4-0 on Saturday. It feels like an interesting one to me, kind of a litmus for each side. Who has the most at stake, at your view?
I think Fremantle, they're the ones that are coming from a little way back. Given the fact that obviously last year they fell off a cliff, having, you know, previously made it through to the final six the year before under Justin Longmire, they've had some nice wins to start the season. They obviously got Brisbane at home, which, you know, probably proved to be the right time to get them. And then they were able to beat North Melbourne and Adelaide, and the Crows are obviously going no good at all.
The Dockers continue their perfect record in season 2024. They move to 3-0. They move to second on the AFL ladder. They take care of the Crows. And for Adelaide, it's a lot more soul-searching.
This is really the first step up in class against a team that has also looked red-hot to start the season. I've been so impressed with the Blues, given the fact that they've had a shorter preseason. They obviously made it through to a preliminary final. And they've been banged up. Patrick Cripps has been training with strapping all over his body during the preseason. Jack Martin's now out for an extended period. They haven't seen him at all yet. Jacob Wiedering's barely trained all summer with a torn calf. And Sam Walsh, who's one of, if not their best midfielder at the moment, is still out with that back injury. So despite that, they've been able to chalk up three straight wins.
Navy blue euphoria! Are they the masters of the close finish now?
The Blues are almost playing with house money early in the season. They'll get better as the year advances, whereas this is the jump that teams that missed the eight last year should have been capitalising on, given the fact they had the extended run and the extra time in the preseason. And Fremantle are one of the teams that have been able to bank those wins so far.
Gather Round concludes with Collingwood v Hawthorn. New Hawk, Jack Ginnivan, look, he's a lightning rod for conversation. I kind of don't know where to take this one, Corb. I mean, the ex-Pie suggesting this game should have been at the MCG. The Shady threw at his old coach in a recent interview.
We had the exit meeting with Fly, and a few things in there were a bit, and I was like, oh, like, and yeah, so that was a bit of an eye-opening, that exit meeting.
The belief in some corners that he's unfairly umpired by some officials. I mean, what do you make of the place this 21-year-old 45-gamer inhibits in the AFL landscape?
I've never seen anything like it in my time following football, and I've never seen it because of the rise that he took from the second year onward. So he had a whole year in the competition running around with almost complete anonymity, and then his second season, Basically, he did a video post-game that caught the attention of Kane Corns, drew some criticism, put him into the national spotlight.
Let's go! Dubs, baby! Yeah, you know how it is. Light work. You know, one of many this year.
And then it's the backdrop to that. He comes out in his best of field on Anzac Day in the biggest home and away game of the year.
Ginnivan for five on Anzac Day. He's got a handful. This brother can really go.
From there, his popularity has skyrocketed. And for a guy that is a middling sort of small forward role player, he is probably top five, top 10, maybe at a stretch, most recognisable faces in the game. So it's a position that I can't remember a player like it in my time following football, that someone who's so early on in their career that wasn't drafted early or anything like that has got the kind of stardom that he has. And yet this week it feels like he's more than comfortable to put the black hat on and wear that. So coming up against his old team, as you said, it's not really the way to endear himself to the locals in Adelaide, given the fact that this grudge match as such with Ginnivan coming up against his old team is staged in their city. But he has this endearing nature about him. I find myself drawn to him. I'm often sort of wanting him to do well. And I think there are a lot of people in the footy community that feel that way. And it adds another bit of extra spice to sort of the late game on Sunday that can often get sort of forgotten in the shuffle when you look your way through the nine matches and you think, gee, I've got a bit of footy fatigue by the final game of the weekend. That won't be the case this weekend. I think we'll all be sitting down and intrigued to see how Jack Ginnivan goes against his old mob.
You know something's going to happen. I feel like something's going to happen.
No doubt.
Can't wait to see it. Can't wait to hear ABC's call across the weekend. Corbin Middlemass, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. Enjoy Adelaide.
Anytime. Thanks, Shaggy.
Headlines. The Bills Beach Pro has concluded with a decidedly American flavour. Californians won the women's and men's events. 18-year-old pocket rocket Caitlin Simmers continues to show why she is the future of women's surfing with a victory there, while Cole Hauschman won the men's. The finals were marred by uninspiring surf. I think everyone will be hoping for better conditions when the tour moves to Margaret River in the big state next up. The Oliroos have named their squad for the Paris Olympic qualifiers, and the big talking point, perhaps, is a player who is not going to take part. 18-year-old Nestori Irakunda has been overlooked for the Under-23 Asian Cup, which is going to double as a qualifier for the Olympics. Now, this is a talent who has been signed by Bayern Munich, so it feels a little bit interesting, mysterious. One to watch. And in the NRL, Reece Walsh will not be returning from his facial fracture for the Broncos against the Storm this weekend. It had been thought the fullback might make a miraculous comeback after he was seen training in Brisbane, but coach Kevin Walters has been glowing on the role played by Wendell Saylor's son Tristan as he continues to fill in for Walsh in the number one jumper. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Channel 10, the Collingwood Football Club and the Oz American Aces podcast for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.